In your Bibles this morning, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 2. Deuteronomy chapter 2. Here's what the Bible says in verse 1. Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me. And we compassed Mount Seir many days. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, Ye have compassed this mountain long enough, turn you northward. Now, you know, one of the things that can help you when you're shut in, like we've been shut in here, not being able to meet and have service, throughout the COVID, is to plan a trip. You may not go on the trip, but plan a trip. I love to plan a trip. I just love it. Shirley and I have planned countless trips over the years. For a sightseeing trip, I would go to AAA. I would get my guidebooks that they have, and I would get their brochures. I would write away, in the old days, I would write a longhand letter, put it in an envelope, send it snail mail to cities that we wanted to go to states, to national parks. Wherever I was interested in going, I would send them one of those letters to send me brochures and everything that they could, especially maps of what to see in their area. And I would read about that. Can you imagine me with all these manila folders coming in from all these places? And I label on the outside of each one of them where they came from. So in big letters, block letters, Salt Lake City, Denver, Yellowstone, or whatever it is, every manila envelope was labeled, and I have them spread all around me on the floor, and I'm planning out this trip, planning trips, and I chart the route of what I want to see. Of course, today, I just search the web, and it's all there, right? But similarly, we as Christians are on a journey as well. For the Christian journey, God has a tour guide book. It's the Bible, amen. And this morning, I want us to examine God's tour guide book of Israel's journeys and see how it relates to us today. The title is God's Tour Guide Book for Israel's Journeys. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray now that you take this simple thought, but apply it in our lives. I pray, Lord, that you will speak by your Spirit. We're not able to gather. You know that, Lord. So folks are sitting in front of their radios or they're sitting in front of their TVs and computers to watch the service today, maybe in front of a cell phone. And I pray that you will still work by your Spirit through your word right now. Help us to be honest with you and speak to our hearts. Help us to speak back to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, in her testimony, you'll notice that Pam went like this once. That means there's a fly up here. And that reminds me of Clyde, Ohio. One time, a fly flew into Pastor Lewis's mouth. And he spit it out and everything. And the fly was dead. Somebody from the church came up and got that fly, put it in a box, and put on an RIP, rest in peace, and presented it to him the next service. I'm digressing here, away from the message, but that's what it reminded me of. And that fly just came around me, too. So, Pam, you can enjoy me swatting it here in just a few minutes. To plan a trip to the Middle East, our area would include places that are familiar to the children of Israel, such as Egypt. Egypt. 10 verses call Egypt the house of bondage. This is where the journey began for the children of Israel in the book of Exodus. the Israelites were in Egypt, if you remember, under bondage to Pharaoh. Although they were a large group, and some say that there were 100,000 or more of them, they were helpless to free themselves. They couldn't do anything about their bondage. And Egypt pictures our life of sin. Our life begins with being born in sin and with a sin nature. You see, Adam sinned in the garden and passed that bloodline on to every person who's been born thereafter, until the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Further, it says that there is none righteous, no, not one. And so all of us begin our journey in Egypt's sin of bondage. We are bound by Satan, and we have to come to the place where we're willing to admit that. He keeps lying to us whenever we want to be him to let us go, just as Pharaoh lied to Moses when Moses said, "Let us go." And he said, "Yeah, go ahead." And then he recanted. Every person listening, without exception, either was or is still in sin's bondage. We know certainly what Egypt means. From Egypt, they traveled on in their journey to the Red Sea. The Red Sea. After the Passover and the killing of the firstborn in all the Egyptian homes, Pharaoh told the Israelites to get out. Just get out of here. So they headed to the promised land toward the Red Sea, which, by the way, is not the Reed Sea and is not a little creek. However, if it was a little creek, what a miracle it would have been for God to drown the entire Egyptian army and the chariots and the horses in the Reed Sea. But it wasn't the Reed Sea. So Israel fled from Pharaoh to the Red Sea. However, Pharaoh had second thoughts, reconsidered, and decided, you know, I don't want to lose all of my slaves that do all of this work. I don't want them to leave. Who would do the work if they all left? And so he chased after them with his army in chariots and horses and determined to get them all to come back. The Israelites were blocked in by the Red Sea. Why, you look across this sea like the Mississippi River and you think, now how am I ever going to get across here? They couldn't cross this wide expanse to freedom. What could they do? There's nothing that they could do. They were helpless to save themselves. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 14 now. However, God performed several miracles. One was of his mercy, of putting a pillar between the Israelites and the Egyptians to protect the Israelites from the slaughter by Pharaoh's men. The other was a miracle of his grace when he opened up the Red Sea so that they could escape to the other side on dry land. Here's what the Bible says in Exodus 14. Verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Skip down to verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more." For how long? Forever. Verse 14. "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. The Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward." How in the world are they going to go forward? They've got the Red Sea bordering them there. In verse 19, "And the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went before their face and stood behind them. And it came to pass the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, that's to the Israelites, so that the one came not near the other all night. He protected them. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, in verse 21, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon, and this always has amazed me, upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Egypt reminds us of our own bondage to sin and Satan and our helplessness to free ourselves. But in the Red Sea, we see our deliverance from that bondage to a new life of salvation in Christ. Even the color red is no mistake, as it reminds us of the red blood of Jesus Christ that he shed to save our souls. Amen. So the Red Sea is in our this journey reminds us of our miracle of salvation and new life in our journey. Now we have new freedom from sin's demands. We don't have to obey sin and Satan anymore. Amen. Now we have new company. New company. We've left the Egyptian crowd, and we fellowship only with those who, like us, have been delivered. We've been saved. That points us to the church in the New Testament. Every believer needs to be part of a local Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. We have a new direction and goal now that we're saved, because before we had no future in Egypt's bondage, nothing to look forward to. But after crossing the Red Sea, we are free to pursue God's promised land. We now have new leadership. Now it's God who is our master, not Satan. And we follow God's man, not Pharaoh. We form new habits. The old bondage habits begin to drop off. Amen. And the new habits of righteousness begin to form in our lives. Oh, I love to study about the Red Sea in God's tour guide book, because it points us to our salvation. Have you experienced salvation from the bondage of your sin? You could this morning by repenting of your sins and trusting Christ alone as your Savior. And I trust that you'll do that at the end of this message. We're looking at Israel's tour guide book. And so next, after the Red Sea, they move quite quickly to Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai. As new travelers with a new freedom from bondage, the Israelites needed clear direction on how to behave, and God knew that they needed this. They were used to having a slave mentality, but now they're free and they needed to be taught. And so shortly after crossing the Red Sea, God gave them the law through his servant, Moses. Moses came down from the mount with the Ten Commandments in hand. And for college sports fans, this is where we get the Big Ten. Amen. Brad, are you listening? The Big Ten. Anyway, and as new Christians, just saved, just liberated from bondage of our sin, we too need initial direction. We call that discipleship. We call that teaching and preaching. The Bible has given you and me commands to obey, even as God gave the children of Israel commands through the law at Mount Sinai. First, we need to, in our Christian life, make our decision to be a Christian public. Make it public. Everyone knew who crossed the Red Sea, and we are commanded that if we'll confess him before man, he'll confess us before the Father, which is in heaven. Secondly, we are commanded to be baptized by immersion after we've trusted Christ as Savior, just as these Israelites went down into the sea. Then thirdly, we are commanded to become a part of the local church where we learn faithfulness. Faithfulness in attendance, faithfulness in tithing, faithfulness in giving and serving. We learn dependability, we learn the Bible and worship. We link with the local family of God, and we learn that that's important for us. So we pass through Egypt, representing our life of sin. And then on our journey, we cross the Red Sea, pointing to our salvation and the day that we received Christ as Savior. And if you've been saved, you can point back to a time when you received Christ as your Savior. You may not remember the day and date, but you'll remember when it happened. You were there. We could never be saved if Christ hadn't shed his blood for us on the cross. And so never will we be under the condemnation of sin again. They didn't return to Egypt, and that was a wonderful thing. You'll see them no more. Then we learn what we ought to be and become as free believers at Mount Sinai, as God gave them the law and gave us a teaching on being a Christian. But that's not the end of our journey. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1. There's another destination in God's travelogue of Israel. Egypt, the Red Sea, Sinai. And then Kadesh Barnea. Remember that one? Kadesh Barnea, out in the middle of the wilderness. Moses reviews what has happened. And he says in Deuteronomy 119 at the end of the verse, "And we came to Kadesh Barnea." In verse 23, skip down. "And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe, and they turned and went up into the mountain, and they came unto the valley of Eshcol, and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands, and brought it down unto us, and brought us word again, and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding," and he's reporting what happened now, "ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God." Kadesh speaks to us of a point of decision, a place of decision to go forward that every one of us as believers come to in our lives. There are times when we come to a place in our life where God speaks to us about something, and now it's decision time. We're either going to follow through by faith, or we're going to shrink back in fear and go the other way. At Kadesh, they made a bad decision out of fear. I may have told you this before. Have you ever made a decision out of fear? At age 11, I was hiking the trail. That day, I had placed second in the spelling bee at school. Second to Shirley. She was number one in our public school in sixth grade. And I was number two. She outspelled me. And I can't remember the word right now. She probably can, that I spelled down on. But I lost the spelling bee. But it was February. And it was cold. And icy and snowy and all of that. And we went hiking down by the river. Walter Boyd Walter Boy was one of those friends that you have that you never have sense when you're around them. And so he and I went hiking, and we saw a high school bully come upon us, Carol Kreischer. And he was just one of those guys that just gets kicks by popping you in the face or hitting you side of the head or doing something to you. And we wanted to get away from Carol. And so we decided that we crawled down into this cove right by the river. But don't you know that guy kept coming, and the trail went right above our heads. And we knew he's going to do something to us. So we decided to venture out on the river across the ice. Now, the river may have been maybe 20, 30 feet across. All right. So it wasn't like the Mississippi River or anything, but it was a distance. And so we crawled out on the ice to cross to the other side. Then we figured when he passed, we'd crawl back. Well, we fell in. Both of us fell in. And if you've ever fallen in under ice in a river, you know that if you get under the river and under the ice, you might never come back out. It was a scary thing. And we got down in there, but we made it to the other side. And, of course, he couldn't get to us, and we were safe. But now we were freezing, and it was getting dark outside. And the only way out was to follow this snaky river around and around for 2 miles to get to the highway to get out of there, and then we'd know how to get home. My father, I didn't come. He got suspicious, and right before dark, he came out. He knew that I was down by the river. He came out and saw me and yelled across, and I yelled across to him and decided, I let him know what I thought we ought to do, and we'll follow the river out. But we didn't come and didn't come and didn't come. None of us knew how much that river snaked around. It took us 3 hours in the dark to get to that highway. He called the police, and we finally came out. I had made a very bad decision out of fear and almost drowned. You know, decisions made because of fear are usually bad decisions. They certainly were for me. Every Christian faces decisions in his life. Maybe you're at a Kadesh Barnea in your life today. God shows us something that we ought to change, but we don't do it. God shows us something that we ought to quit doing. God shows us something that we ought to begin to do. God shows us somewhere that we ought to go. He shows us someone that we ought to talk to. Whatever it is, decisions face us just as they did Israel at Kadesh Barnea. And they looked at the pros and the cons. I don't know. I do that, but I don't know that that's a good thing to do in every case. But the pros were that the land was flowing with milk and honey and was fruitful, full of grapes. So much it took two men to carry the grapes of Eshcol. But the cons, and of course it was God's will, because he said he wanted to lead them out to the promised land. The cons were that there were giants in the land and walled cities, which would be a challenge to them. They'd have to conquer them if they went up and took the land. The spiritual minority leadership, two of them, said, let's go. We can easily take this land, and God will be with us. The faithless and fearful majority, 10 of them, spies, their counsel said, let's wait. We can't conquer them. And they were divided. And the people went with the 10 majority report. And you and I face decisions. We come up in our Christian life to Kadesh Barnea, and if we'll seek God, he'll show us what we ought to do. God is faithful to guide us if we'll just tune an ear into what he wants to tell us. But after assessing the pros and cons, often we are fearful and paralyzed to step out by faith and make the decision and make the change that God is calling on us to make. I wonder, if you're really interested in doing what God wants you to do as a Christian. Are you? Or are you going to lean to your own understanding? God says tithe and give offerings, but maybe you've got some other plan worked out. Do you know why you have another plan worked out? It's because you don't believe the Bible. You don't believe that God can meet your need if you give before you pay your bills. You don't fear God, you fear circumstances. You just want the name of being a Bible believer or a member of a church without actually the demonstration of that belief. That's what's going on. God says that you need to stop sinning. Give up the bad habits. Start talking to Him in prayer, and He'll help you to be victorious over that habit. God is not pleased with immoral living. It's time to stop. It doesn't matter COVID. You can't use COVID for an excuse. If there's immoral living, it needs to stop today, God says. God's not pleased with doing drugs or alcohol. Well, I'm just so nervous because of this. No. No excuses. God wants you to stop it. God's not pleased with gossiping about other brothers in Christ. Get control of your tongue. In fact, the Bible says that God hates evil. All evil is repugnant to Him. God wants young adults and teens to seek Him in prayer about what He wants you to do with your life. Then step out by faith at your Kadesh Barnea today. You face a decision. Make that decision today with faith in God, not fear man, but faith in God. Don't put it off when you know what God wants you to do, to go forward for Him like He wanted them to go forward for Him. But Israel gave in to fear, didn't they? They accepted bad advice. You can always find somebody to tell you what you want to hear. And at Kadesh, they decided not to go forward. But do you remember what happened because of that? They were condemned to wander in the wilderness for 39 more years until all that generation died off. God chastened Israel for their disobedience. And God is no different today. It's His mercy that reminds us of what He wants us to do. It's His mercy. He loves you. He instructed us at Sinai. Then we face the decision to test our obedience and our faith. And when we obey, well, He rewards us, doesn't He? But the Bible says time and time again that no one will get away with sin or ignoring God's leading. No, the Christian will pay immediately in this life by the chastening hand of God. And don't be deceived that you are the exception to that rule. And somehow you'll get away with it. You won't. What decision is God impressing upon you at your Kadesh? Our life takes turns. And as we go through our life journey, and you may be at Kadesh, it's your opportunity to obey His word and His voice. Now let's go back to the tour guide book again. For Israel. Next, they came to Mount Seir. S-E-I-R. Turn to Deuteronomy 1 again. They only came to Mount Seir because they didn't make the right decision at Kadesh to go into the promised land when God wanted them to. Therefore, they ended up at Mount Seir. Now, what did they do at Mount Seir? Seir is another name for Edom, if that helps you. It's on the right side of the Dead Sea. And Edom came from Esau, didn't it? It means red. But Deuteronomy 1 and verse 46, Mount Seir. So we abode in Kadesh many days according unto the days that we abode there. That made sense. And we turned and took our journey into the wilderness. Now, they could have turned and took their journey into the promised land. But they didn't do that. And so they turned and took their journey by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me, and we compassed Mount Seir many days. Keep your finger in Deuteronomy 2. We'll come back to it. What did they do at Mount Seir? Exactly what are you going to do if you don't obey at the point of decision that you face? That's what they faced at Mount Seir. This will happen to you. You're going to go in circles. Go in circles. Year after year after year, you're not going to make any progress. You could have gone forward, but you made a bad decision, and now you're just going to wind around and around and around in your wilderness. And you'll keep going in circles until you're willing to yield to God's will and plan for your life. When Darrell Waltrip published his autobiography, he gave it a perfect title. He called it DW, A Lifetime of Going in Circles. And of course, as a NASCAR driver, that's what they do all the time. They go in circles, round and round the track. Well, Israel went around and around Mount Seir, around and around. They went this way, and then they went that way. And then they decided they'll go around this way, and then they come back that way. And they just kept going around and around. And that's what happens to so many Christians. They don't make the decision to change when God prompts them. God shows them light, and they refuse that light. He shows them direction, like he showed Jonah direction, and Jonah went the other way, and they go the other way. They fail their Kadesh test. They fail it. And what happens? Well, when you take that test, you have to take it over again someday. If you flunk third grade, you have to take third grade again. They waste months and years of their life running in circles, some of them changing churches, becoming nominal Sunday Christians, adopting carnal priorities in their life. They start down a path of spinning their wheels, not making any progress. There was a man who left Mount Zion years ago. He stated, told me that it was the best church in the area. It's Mount Zion. I don't know if that's true or not, but that was his estimation. But he's not here. It's the best church, but you're not here? Why? Because he made a wrong turn at Kadesh. He made a wrong decision and been bouncing from place to place ever since. He's been running in circles. Have you made a wrong decision sometime in your life, maybe in the past, and ever since you've been going in circles? Then you need to hear the words of Deuteronomy 2 and verse 2. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, verse 3, ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn ye northward. Maybe you're at Mount Seir today. And God is saying to you who have maybe made a poor decision in the past to stop running in circles. Get out of that rut and head north again. North is toward God. Turn toward God's way again today. And that is the message that God brought you to hear today, if that's where you find yourself. Finally, the destination point in God's travel guide for Israel is the Promised Land. The Promised Land. This is a place of victorious Christian living. It's not talking about heaven. Heaven is Beulah Land. There'll be no battles in Beulah Land. There'll be no battles there. But there were many battles in the Promised Land. And it's the place of battles and serving and seeing God give us the land. See God do things for us and bring us great victory. To be sure, we still have a devil to fight. There's no doubt about that. And yes, we still have two natures struggling within us. There's that desire to please God and a desire to please self and flesh. But Having crossed the swelling Jordan River, we enter into the land of victorious Christian living. Man, oh man, it must have been something to see that crowd cross over. This is where the basic doctrine is already settled. Now, they've lived for years and years under the leadership of the Lord. This is where we have grown until separation isn't a problem anymore. This is where we have already established ourselves as a believer in a fellowship and faithful to that church. Our initial areas of obedience like baptism, church, tithing, devotions, witnessing, and they're already settled. And now all you have to concentrate on are your current battles. And boy, there are a lot of them, aren't there? There's a battle. And as they arise, thank God we can fight them and be victorious in the Christian life. Why? Because God is with us, just like God was with them going into the promised land. Wow! What a travel guide that God gave to Israel. And what a travel guide he's given to us. Where are you in God's journey for you?
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.